a good little conversation. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening to the folks on the podcast, wherever you may be, whatever the time is. We're going to jump into a nice little conversation about a couple of things, right? As you can see on the live, folks, the title is Acceptance and Validation. Now, I'm going to be talking about this a little bit from my perspective and then a conglomerate of a bunch of people that I talk to, right? But we're going to first and foremost start off with me, right? So for the podcast people, I am your host, Collins Johnson. Welcome to Perspective Wisdom. Thank you for taking your time out of your day to listen to me. I am going to come up with one of those little, you know, monologues that people be having and all of that stuff. And they be like, you know, this. Welcome to my channel. So for the YouTube people, welcome to my channel, Perspective Wisdom. I'm your host, Collins Johnson. Well, we're going to get on this thing and I'm going to be a lot more consistent. I know I say that a lot and then something happens, but you got to understand one thing. I am intuitive, very intuitive person. So the stuff that I encounter, sometimes I take it a lot harder than I plan to, and I dive into it a lot more deeper. And then as I'm diving into it, I'm talking to other folks, I'm getting different perspectives, trying to figure things out. And then I have to write all that down, bullet point it, you know, fact check some things, just, you know, depending on how I'm going to talk about it. Map out how I'm going to talk about it, then go over it in my head, and then scratch it all out and throw it away and do it over again, and then do impromptu, you know what I'm saying? So there's a whole bunch of processes that go through this, but we're going to talk about is acceptance and validation from my side. Now, these are lessons that it takes decades to understand, right? It takes so long to understand these lessons for the simple fact that you have to grow into a lot of things, and stuff that you think is the absolute truth or the gospel, or, you know, this is the right way. Later on down the line, as you find out more information, these things change. They push you in other directions. Now, depending on the choices that you make and the decisions that you make, will guide you in a different place. Now, I'm not going to make this super long. I'm going to make this as quick as I possibly can. There's a lot to dive into this. So as I do with a lot of my topics, I kind of try to break it up into parts, into pieces, so I can touch everything and you can just hear from my perspective and some other people who agree and disagree, because I don't just do the, oh, well, I agree with this. Sorry, I keep fixing my shirt. I don't like how it looks. I don't do the, well, I agree, you know, and I want you to agree. So if you agree, then I'm going to listen to everything you got to say. But if you disagree, then I'm going to move on. That's why we have such a closed-minded society now. That's why there's so much truth that are half-truths and an eighth of a truth. And you think you can do it this way and you really can't. No matter how hard you try to, like, push yourself into it. So the acceptance part. As a kid growing up, I always wanted acceptance. I always wanted to be accepted, right? From the first time that I can remember, which is like 5 years old. And I live in Norfolk, Virginia. So if you don't know anything about Norfolk, Virginia, then you can just Google it. So I am from the projects, basically. And the earliest memory I can have, the earliest memory I have is of my aunt, my great auntie, or however you say that. But she lived in Tidewater Park. And I remember being at her house, and there was other little kids there playing and stuff, but I didn't want to do what they wanted to do. What I wanted to do was play with Hot Wheels cars. That was always my thing. Hot Wheels and Matchbox, and I take little cereal boxes and make buildings and stuff out of it. And I, you know, drive my little cars through there, and in my imagination, that would be the grown-up version of me, you know, with a house and a wife and kids and a dog and a nice career and all of that stuff, because that's what I was seeing, right? That's what I was seeing on TV. That's what I was listening to on the radio programs, right? We didn't have like the social media that you have now. This is in the 80s, right? So I was always looking at that type of stuff and reenacting those type of things. But the kids that I wanted to play with didn't want to do that. You know, they wanted to do other things. And that persisted throughout my childhood. The older I got, the worse it got. The older I got, the more isolated I became. You know, when I didn't want to play basketball, baseball was my first sport. And then I played soccer after that. So when I didn't want to play basketball and football, I lost a lot of friends there, you know. And at a kid stage, 8, 9, 10 years old, you lose a friend, oh man, you know. that's something terrible. You know, you feel like you have lost your whole world. And then I finally conformed a little later, and I started playing basketball, and I started playing football, and I gained a good group of friends. And then all of a sudden they disappeared. You know, they disappeared because they were doing other things. And I didn't want to do those other things. And then I became really fascinated in books. I became really fascinated and just learning, period. And the more I learned, the further I got away from the people that I thought I was going to be friends with forever in a day, you know. So that acceptance I needed, but I could never get it, right? So now the validation portion of it. I had validation from my mother, right? I didn't know my father. I didn't meet my father until I was 21. So that whole story, that's in my podcast. You know, for you people that's on YouTube and Facebook, you can slide over to the podcast. I may put it up on my Facebook. I got to figure that out. I am trying to figure this whole marketing yourself out to people and pushing it out to people as I go along. So if you want to throw some tips in there, you're more than welcome. Sorry, shameless plug. Anyways, I've always had that validation from my mom, but there were times where I needed validation from other people in my life, maybe a girlfriend at the time or a friend, a brother, you know, a sister. I needed some type of validation to make me feel as though I was going in the right direction. I was making the right type of decisions and stuff. Now, without that validation, it led me to have to lean on my own understanding, which we all know, if you're into any type of religion, most religions speak of you not leaning on your own understanding solely, unless the religion that you follow teaches for you to be the God yourself. And then even in that, you're still listening to the inner voice, which is not supposed to be you. It's supposed to be like separate from your inner you, or however that goes. You know, we're not going to jump into that, but we are going to graze across the surface. So the religion that I was raised in and the other couple of religions that I decided to practice for a little while, you know, way back when, all of them speak about you not leaning on your own understanding. Now, I've always leaned in on my own understanding. Now, for you people on YouTube, this was just a short snippet. So this is to get you over to other things. So with that being said, peace out, YouTube people. I will be back if you want me to. I'll be looking down in the comments. So I've always had this thing, right? And now let's put this in perspective. I'm 38 now, right? And at 38, I'm just coming to a lot of realizations that some people will say things like, oh, you should have came to that realization at 22 or something of that nature, right? So at 23, I was already going to the military. And the military not necessarily sped up my growth. What it did was put me around a diverse group of people, and diverse on both sides. So let's not let people tell you that everything in the military is one side, cut and dry. There is no, you know, racism, classism, colorism. There is no this. There is no negative thing. It's just everybody's this and we're all going in one direction. That is a lie. Okay, so with the military, and this is not to bash the military or anything like that, with anything, you always get two sides of the spectrum, or four sides of the spectrum, or six sides of the spectrum. It just depends on your perspective, right? That's what we do over here. We talk from perspective, and we talk about these truths inside the perspective. Now, I'm not saying it's my truth. I'm not saying this is your truth. I'm saying it's truth in general. So what you have is you have a diverse group of people that hate and a diverse group of people that accept, right? So there's you can't necessarily love like that until you've been through something. So the love and the camaraderie comes over a number of years of being with somebody, deploying with them. You know, it's nothing but you and your team, or you and your buddy, or however it goes, whatever part of the branch of service that you're in. But you also have that other side of the walk, right? The other side of the military that absolutely hates you for the color of your skin, for the texture of your hair, for the fact that you can get girls or men and they can't. Like, whatever it is, they hate you. And when that hate is directed, and when that hate is pushed in your direction, you feel it. It is a different type of hate. It is like hate on steroids times 10, the same way the camaraderie is on steroids times 10. So if you ever became friends or brothers or sisters with somebody in the military, it's a lifelong thing. Even if you don't see each other for 10 or 15 years and you meet each other again, it's almost like Like, you never miss the beat. You get right back to it. And they understand you on a different level than somebody who's with you every day will understand you, you know. And only you two or you three or you four, whatever the amount of military people is, only you understand each other in that type of way. And you can't bring anybody else in it because they haven't been through what you've been through with them for them to have it, if that makes any sense. So you can't have the love for a spouse if they weren't with you in the military, the same way you have the love for a brother or a sister in the military. They won't, the two don't match. They're on separate lanes. So there was this validation and acceptance, you know, together that I got in the military. And it was hard to deal with to a certain extent because I had never received that. And I couldn't understand why I couldn't receive that from, you know, blood relatives. If I have blood relatives that treat me like this, then, you know, we would be so much closer. But then I had to take into account as I got older, and keep that in mind, as I got older, I had to understand that that was a different type of love, validation, and acceptance, you know, from blood relatives as opposed to this. Now, trying to decipher all of this with no guidance, right? My mom just wanted me to stay alive. If I made it past 25, she did her job. So she didn't necessarily understand how to guide me through the hurts and pains that people will bring to you, especially when you're a very loving person. Now, I'm empathetic, right? I'm sympathetic. I'm loving, I'm kind, I'm caring. You know, I'm not violent. I can be, but I'm not. I have to be pushed really hard to get to the violent side of myself. But there's not a lot of people that can deal with that nowadays, because most of the things that are pushed to you have violence in it, right? So you think that you have to be a certain type of way because this is the way the world is. And one of the things that I've always shied away from was the ideas that were pushed to you or pushed to me through television or social media. Whenever there's an idea pushed, I'm looking at who's pushing. I always look around the idea and just be like, who's back there pushing this? Why do you want me to be angry and upset with people who look like me? Why do you want me to fight them, joke them, you know what I'm saying? Always be ready to shoot them at the drop of a hat. Why are you pushing this so hard? The world isn't that bad in every place. And so I get these people. Now, this goes back to the military conversation. I get these people that are in the military with me who live in different areas. They live in areas that are not as bad. Some of them live in areas that are worse than what I grew up in. So we all have different perspectives on how we see crime, self-defense, and so forth and so on. Now, we've all been trained in the same type of way when it comes to defense. So, and some of us went further. Some of us stopped just at what we were trained at as the basics. But nonetheless, there's lives that are placed on the other side of that barrel that we have, right? So I'm always careful about the decisions that I make. If I'm going to put myself in a position to even think that I might get into an altercation, I don't do it. I shy away from the thing. I won't go to the bar. I won't go to the club. I won't go, you know, to whatever this event is. Or if I have something in my house, please don't bring no weapons. You can leave it in the car. If you're going to bring it, leave it in the car. Don't bring it in my house. Don't bring it in my backyard. Don't bring it on my front porch. Don't care. I don't want that energy around me, right? Because I know what that brings. And if you really knew what it brings, if you really knew what you had to lose, then you would think of it differently. Now, circle this back around to validation and acceptance. I'm not accepted amongst the people that I grew up with because of that thought process right there. I'm not so quick to take a life. I'm not so quick to put a life in danger. I'm not so quick to punch people in the face like I used to be. Used to be highly violent because I didn't know myself, right? And one thing that you got to understand, so kind of, you know, if you're a single mom and you're raising a boy, right? Or if you're a single dad, and not so much single dads because they already have the male energy or male perspective. But if they don't, you know, just keep this in mind. If you have a strong, domineering male presence, It doesn't, whether it's an uncle, brother, boyfriend, doesn't matter. If you have a strong male dominant presence in that child's life, then you're not going to pretty much deal with what I'm talking about. But when you don't, when you're missing that, it causes the kid to be, the boy child, to be emotionally unstable. So this is when you get men that'll flip out at the drop of a hat. You step on their shoes, they're ready to fight. Step on their shoes, they're ready to shoot you. You know, they become hyper-materialistic, you know, hypersensitive to every situation. And they think every situation has to be dealt with confrontation. And I mean the most high-strung negative confrontation that they can possibly muster up. That imbalance is what happens. But see, the problem is that most people can't tell that you're not going to be able to tell what you're infusing into the child until they become older, 20, 30 years old, because that's when they're actually going to have to apply all of these foundational tools that you gave them or lack thereof in the real world. And if there's the lack thereof, then they're most likely going to be emotional. So with that being said, that was one of the things that I was missing. I was missing a strong, domineering, positive male influence in my life. I've always had male influence in my life. You know, I've had the big homies on the block or something like that. But I never had one that would sit me down and say, hey, listen, I'm proud of you, but this is what you need to fix. I'm proud of you, but this is what you need to work on. You know, I think you're awesome, but so and so forth and so on, right? And what I do with my boys is praise, worship, and admonishment. I tell them to approach every situation like that, whether it's a failure or a victory. So you praise whatever the person is that you're speaking. You worship the fact that you're able to, you know, do this thing because God gave you breath in your lungs. You know, this is a present. Your life is a present. And then you admonish the fact of everything that is given to you within that praise, right? Within that worship time. And then at the end, now you start evaluating everything. Take responsibility, take accountability. Now, there's a lot of people that are like, where'd you get that from? You know, like, what? I want to know what scientist or what therapist told you this, or what book did you read this? This is not in the 48 Laws of Power. This is not in the Black Woman's Guide on How to Train a Black Man. I didn't think I read that, did you? So, shameless plug, Shahrazad Ali. That was an amazing thing. Amazing thing. Anyways, but it's not in that type of stuff. Where it comes from is perspective wisdom, right? It comes from living life, understanding what I was missing and what I did have, fusing those things together and seeing what direction it took me as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, and where I'm at now, you know. And I understand that one of the things that I needed was validation. One of the things that I yearned for was acceptance. And I needed a strong male presence that wasn't always going to be like, you know, get money, get hoes. It wasn't always like, you know, suck it up. Ain't no crying in this thing. And it wasn't always just pushing me to be the most hostile, volatile, jealous, envious, whatever you can possibly think, misogynistic. All of the things that they put as a negative stereotype on men, that is what men would push. Because in the search, in the quest to become a man, there's a place where you're always trying to impress a woman, a certain woman, right? Whatever woman you, for lack of better terms, we're going to take a little bit of the twilight, the imprint, whatever woman you imprint on, you usually try to impress that woman with the man that you are, right? And now we're getting this group of men that are saying, forget that, I ain't trying to impress on women, but I'm going to work on self-improvement. And in that self-improvement, right, somewhere down the line, they figure out that they do want a woman beside them, right? They do want a companion beside them. They do want somebody to spend their life. They do want somebody to share their wealth, share their money with, share their ideas, you know, share conversations, share a life with. Right. And you say you can be the best you can be. Well, how can you be the best you can be without other people? There's nothing for you to gauge. Most of the time, and this is just my thoughts and opinions. You can disagree if you want to. That's fine. Put the disagreements in the comments, or for you people on the podcast, you can send me an email, you know, at Collins, collins.johnson83@gmail. And I'll pick it up and we'll converse about it. I don't mind talking. I love conversation. So anyways, you have to compare, right? You have comparison and contrast for the purpose of development, for the purpose of learning, so that you can increase your knowledge, right? And there's no other way to do it. So if you're always working on yourself, what are you comparing yourself to see if yourself is better? Okay, so can you compare your now self to your old self? Well, of course you've advanced. Everybody has. It's called, everybody grows. People just grow in different directions. And the problem is that nobody's really taught how to hone in and focus those thoughts so that they know what they were thinking back then. You know, I talk to so many people who don't remember too much of their childhood at all. You know, I remember all of my childhood vividly. There's not too many pieces that I've forgotten. But with that, it helps me to build a better relationship with my own children. It helps me to understand them, understand what it is that they're going to do, you know, before they do it, what their thought process is. And they're always looking at me in this amazement. And I'm like, you're my kids, number one. Number two, I remember my childhood. I remember what it felt like to want to fit in. I remember what it felt like to be so scared to get in trouble that you would just automatically lie so that you wouldn't get in trouble. But you didn't know that your parents already knew the answer to the question that they were asking you. So then when you lied, you got in even more trouble. Like, I know these things are going to happen, which is why I don't flip out on y'all as much as you think I'm going to flip out. No, just tell me the truth. We're going to work on you telling the truth, taking accountability, taking responsibility for the things you do and you say, so that way you can get to the other side of this. You can learn. You can not do it again. You can take from the mistakes and build on them. You can grow. And this is why I say there's not too many people in the world that are stagnant the way that people say they are. When they're talking about stagnation, they're talking about it purely from a materialistic standpoint, meaning if they had this car, you know, 10 years ago, they should have had a better car or a better house or a better wife, a better girlfriend, better husband, better fling, better side chick, better side dude, you know, whatever you want to throw in there, this materialistic. That's what they think. They think the growth happens there. So for the people who grow spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, they usually get ostracized out of this society for the simple fact that this society is predicated upon business, like commerce, competition, and tangible things or materialism. That's why they're always pushing you to buy things. There's no economy that can run without you purchasing something, without you being the consumer. Now, we'll jump into that conversation and a whole nother thing. But as far as validation and acceptance, it's something that you need. It's something that you need for your growth. And without it, you become a hermit crab and you actually do stagnate your growth. You have nothing to grasp onto in order, you know, like when you're climbing up one of those walls that are in the gyms where you got to climb up the wall and it has those little pegs that you grab onto. There's no little peg for you to grab onto. That's what acceptance is. You get accepted in this club. So there's so many people that are in Masons and Turtles and all different types of sororities. You name it, right? There's a club. There's a section of people who agree on something, and they went through whatever they went through in order to achieve that acceptance. And the process of achieving that acceptance among that group of people that they want to be in, there's validation that comes along with that. How that works for a child too, as they grow up. So I didn't have acceptance and validation from older males that were positive, but very assertive, very strong, very strong and forthright. Outside of my uncle, right? And I've talked about him for you podcast people. If you go look at my podcast, the one that I talked about, my uncle who passed away recently, he was the podcast name is A Great Man That No One Knows, right? So he was the one guy that never really said anything to me verbatim all the time. Like, he may have given me one or two sayings, like old man used to be dead and gone. That was to keep me in the mindset of continuously growing. But it's more what I watched him do, get up day in, day out, no matter how bad he felt, no matter how the weather was outside, no matter what, he would get up and go to work. and he would work his tail off, and then we'd come home at the end of the day, right? So once I got separated from that as a teen, because now I'm doing things, now I'm going out of town and stuff like that, to see a different side of the world, it made me feel like this is only right here. And the only time I'm going to get this type of interaction with a positive male is right here. You know, so I never had the validation outside of that. The way the world is shaping up to be is making things very individual and making things very secluded, or how would I say it? Making things so that it's like it's selfish. There's no giving of yourself to other people, because everybody's afraid to get their heart broken. Everybody's afraid to have a bad relationship. Everybody's afraid to get embarrassed. Everybody's afraid to look like a fool. When all of these things are the things that make you grow, that adversity, you need that to push against so that you can have something to search for. And even in that, you got to look around and see what other people are, you know, accomplishing. People be like, don't worry about, I stay in my lane. Yes, you can stay in your lane. But just like when you're driving a car, you always search the other lanes to see what's going on, so you don't run into an accident or somebody ain't coming from another lane to come and smash into the side of you. You know whether to hit the gas or the brakes. See, people only tell you one little side of what they want you to know, because if they tell you everything, then that defeats the purpose of competition. And this great United States we live in is predicated upon competition. So if I told you everything that I know to get where I got and how fast I got there, what would I have for myself? Unless you know that they're comparing themselves to you, even when they're trying to tell you how to better themselves. So you have to keep these things in mind. I think what I'll do is I'll branch that off and go into maybe manipulation through that, because there's a manipulation of factors that has to happen in order for business to come about, in order for comparison and contrast and competition to have a foundation to operate on. You know, there's a form of manipulation. You have to be able to manipulate the game that you're playing. And if you can't, then you can't become one of the greatest. And I'm going to leave you with that thought right there. So thank y'all for listening. I appreciate it. Again, I'm going to throw my little handles in there. My email is Collins, Collins.Johnson83@gmail. And you can send me an email if you want to talk about some other things, or you disagree and you want to throw a little point in there, or you just want to tell me something about yourself. That would be awesome too. You know, let's just start having these conversations instead of always trying to be told what to do or telling people what to do. How about we just converse? Maybe we'll find our own ways together. That'd be nice. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. How are you doing? I'm your host, Collins Johnson. Welcome to Perspective Wisdom. Sorry, we're having like a late night jank, you know what I'm saying? On this side, it's about smooth 1 a.m. in the morning. And I'm not up, but I'm up enough to, you know, start this second segment. So we're going to jump into the second part of we're going to jump into the second segment of acceptance and validation, right? And we're always talking about this from my perspective, so keep that in mind. So I am doing dual recordings now. I'm doing dual recordings. I'm doing, you know, one for my Facebook, I do Facebook and a podcast at the same time. I am so sorry. I sound like I'm all over the place, but trust me, I will get it together. But acceptance is something that's like one of those newly treaded on topics for me, because I'm learning to dive into my own self, right? And with diving into my own self, there's a lot of things that I never knew I wanted, or I was going through, or I didn't know how to articulate it at this time. So now that I'm learning how to articulate a lot of things, it's easier for me to come forward and, you know, pretty much share it with you guys, share my life with you guys. That's why you're here, right? Perspective Wisdom. How do I see things from my perspective? Now, let me give all the techie people, you know, the disclaimer. With this podcast, we do things really naturally. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on the equipment and all of that. That is so far down the line because I'm doing it little bits and pieces at a time. But I like authenticity. I like to hear background noises, you know, imperfections, me scratching or a car going past or sirens or something like that, because it gives you a real feel instead of everything being, you know, production. If you're looking for a production show and, you know what I'm saying, cue cards and all of that good stuff, then not that I won't get there, but I'm not there yet. So with that being said, we're going to jump into this. And for my other people on the other side, just bear with me for one quick second so I can, you know, jump them in. I like to do this. All right. So for my Facebook people, you know, what's up? What's happening? Sorry it's late. This is the only time that I get off and I get some time to do some things. How you doing? I'm going to be putting this on my Facebook, on the Perspective Wisdom on the Facebook, but I just doing it on this page like a quick snippet. So I'm doing the podcast at the same time, so bear with me if I keep going like back and forth or something like that. I'm learning little bits and pieces at a time. So today we're going to go into the part two about acceptance and validation for the Facebook people. The podcast people already heard this spew, you know what I'm saying? So they're a good 3 minutes in. Let's get it. So acceptance and validation. There's so many people that do not feel like acceptance and validation plays a role in their life. And I'm not here to tell you what does and what doesn't. So I use myself as an example to show you everyday life. Like, I'm an everyday regular person, right? And even in my regular life, growing up from where I'm at to how I was, you know, at the height of my career and the height of my, you know, whatever, and on my little descent, because in my mind, the descent is going down. Like, the closer you get to 50, you know, you kind of like bear off, and people be like, it's not about money making, right? We rarely talk about money making on this channel. So if you're looking for like the money making tips and all that stuff, I mean, I can point you in the direction, but that ain't really what I do. So, and I'm sorry I'm all rough, but you know, man, be working. So anyways, it is a foundation in all of our lives because it has been created that way. It's a part of society, right? And when I'm talking about acceptance and validation, I'm also talking about social engineering at the same time. There's a certain and specific way that they have geared us towards living with each other and this melting pot that we call the United States, right? So take a little sit back. All right. You are to get accepted into everything, right? Why are you still up? You should be going to sleep. You have to be accepted into everything, right? So if you are a people person, then you have to be accepted into the groups that you pretty much apply to. If you're not a people person and you feel as though that you don't need anybody's acceptance or validation, then you have to accept that with yourself, right? Acceptance, all right? You have to accept that with yourself because you are not one being by yourself, right? You're human, first and foremost. If that's the way you want to look at it, if you want to look at it in the opposite way, then just take all of the things that I'm saying and flip them around. So you're a human first and foremost, and then you're a spirit, and then you're a soul. Right. And all of these things come together to make you, your personality, how you operate, what your purpose is, what your destiny is. And we'll get into purpose and destiny, you know, later on in a different talking session. But all of these things come together to make you. Right. So if you want to flip it the opposite way around, you're a soul, you're a spirit, you're a person. So either way, there's more parts to you. With that being said, all of those parts have to be in agreement. Right, I often talk about balance. So balance is one of the things that we talk about on this channel seriously. And then above balance is words and spells. So you have to be careful about the things that you say out your mouth. They will come true. And a lesson I learned today, you know, I was talking to my older brother, and he said something very profound to me. He said, "You get what you ask for. You just didn't ask for it for a long period of time." So if you ask, you know, I want to be able to take care of my family. You never,
you know, put a specific, you never put specificity to how long you wanted to be able to take care of your family. So let's just say you say, oh, you know, if you pray, if you meditate, or if you just speak out into the atmosphere and the universe or whatever it is that you do, and you just say, hey, I want to be able to take care of my family. Did you say how long? Because it can be for 5 minutes. It can be for 5 seconds. It can be for 50 years. Now, because you didn't put any specificity to that, you get what you ask for, but you don't know all of the things that surrounds it. So that's why in this channel, I try to break down everything that's going on in the world societally, right? And then tell you what the foundations are so that you can build your own building and empire on top of what the foundations are. But once you know what the foundation is, it's easy for you to be able to build a structure on top of that, and it be a sound structure. It be a very well put together structure, building, house, whatever. So that's what we're talking about, acceptance and validation. That's like a cornerstone. It's a cornerstone piece and the foundational block for you to be able to build. And if you don't understand that you need to be accepted, and in that acceptance comes the validation, then it's gonna hinder you from getting to where you want to be in the happiness realm, right? You can't find happiness, you can't find joy, and that type of thing. You have moments where you're happy, but not completely, not in totality, right? You're content, but you're not fulfilled. So you got to keep these things in mind. Now, when you're accepted into these things, I want you to think of it like this. Like if there's a club, right, you have to be accepted into the club. You got to meet the qualifications and then be accepted into the club. If it's the military, you got to be accepted into the military. You got to pass all the tests. You got to do what you're supposed to do, present yourself and be physically fit and all of that stuff. You have to be accepted into that. If it's a college, you get acceptance letters. Okay, there you go. So education, you know, military. If you're trying to be a doctor or a lawyer, you got to pass the bar or you got to pass your residency. Either way, you have to be accepted into that culture, whatever that is, right? So once you get accepted into that culture, whatever it is that you're seeking, which is that's your purpose. Okay, purpose is nothing more than your job or your work or what you're supposed to do in the grand scheme of a society. Right. So that's what I was talking about. Social engineering. That's what I'm breaking down for you. I'm breaking down for you from the bottom and building it up as to how social engineering works and why you're at where you're at. And if you want to change where you want to go, then you have to understand what the structure is so that you can move about the right way, you know, the least resistance possible. Okay, so everything you have to be accepted in. Now, once you get accepted into that, military, medical, lawyer, you know, whatever it is, then comes the validation. You're validated by the things that you are able to accomplish within that thing that you wanted to be accepted in. So for a doctor, they become validated by the amount of patients that they help. You know what I'm saying? Whether they prescribe the right medicines, you know, how did they look at certain treatments? Did they revolutionize something or did they just follow things by the book? And it is what it is to them. So, but that validation is needed in order for you to keep succeeding. So for the people, sometimes, there's always an exception to the rule. Okay, so we're going to branch off real quick. Exception to the rule proves that the rule is true. Without an exception to the rule, then there's no rule. But rules are meant to be bent and broken. So you can always bend against a rule. You can always break a rule, right? You cannot break a covenant and principles stay in their place, right? Principles kind of hold that whole thing together. So just remember, you break a covenant, you pay dearly. You can, let me not say you can't break it. You can break it, but you're going to pay dearly. You break a rule, there's ways around that, right? And that's kind of why I'm talking about lawyers, because lawyers help you break and bend rules in certain areas and situations. Whole nother show. We'll get into that later. So anyways, with that exception to the rule, right, just proves the rule. So there is so much to explain just at that one level. And at that one level, if you can't get the acceptance and validation, then you can't move past that level. Now, what happens is oftentimes We have people who have started out at the foundational principles, right, in life, and they've moved up a level. And when they move up a level, they turn around and look at the people under them and start judging and negatively criticizing them and saying, how can you do this? How can you get, you know, to this point? Why would you go and take money and do this? Why do you still live in this rundown house or something like that? How come you haven't gotten yourself past, you know, minimum wage or $10 an hour? You know, all these little intricacies that they sprinkle in there. And not once do they remember where they were at. That's why they speak like that. Now, if they remember where they were at foundationally, then they wouldn't say those types of things, because they would understand that it takes a paradigm shift in your thinking mindset in order for you to get past something. You can take a person who is bad with money, give them $1 million, and they will spend a dollar a day for 1 million days, or as long as they can live. You know what I'm saying? So they'll spend every bit of that money. And it'll take somebody to come into their life and change their way of thinking in order for them to change everything about that and then influence generation after generation. Now, what if I kept you busy worrying about things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of legacy? If I did that, then that would be a part of social engineering, that I take away the acceptance and validation. Those are the outliers. Those are the ones that prove the rule is true. So the rule is, if you don't understand validation and acceptance, then you won't be able to move up levels, right, without somebody's hand. Okay? You can't do it. You can argue with me all you want to. I can hand you, you know, billions of dollars, and you won't know what to do with it. You'll get all of the things that you want first. Then you'll start getting a little bit of what you need. And then you'll take care of the people that are in your circle. And if the people in your circle are not, you know, smarter than you or more ambitious than you, then you'll stay at that level. And you'll just have $1 billion or a little bit less because of whatever you spent it on. That's how it works, right? And it's little things like this that people tend to overlook and say, well, I don't need your acceptance. I don't need your validation. Well, whose acceptance and validation do you need? There's the question for you. So depending on whose acceptance and validation you need will depend on which direction you go to start looking for these things in order to climb up the ladder of social success. Right? Success is in a society that we live in is comprised of, you know, money and looks and things that you accomplish tangibly. That's it. So when people are like, I don't know what success is, or success is this for me, it's not. It's not. Because you can say what success is to you, but who validates that? Where is this thought process accepted? If it's not accepted mainstream, then what you're saying is totally nuanced or the outlier to the rule. And if you're the outlier to the rule, you're not the majority. So you'll stay where you're at in that level of society. And unless you want to, if you want to move up in society, then you can, but you got to accept that acceptance and validation are some cornerstones. And where do you want, who do you want to be accepted by? Like what group or what person, and who do you want, who's validating you inside of that group? And that'll also shift the way your personality works, because people's personalities become shaped through problems, trials, tribulations, hardships, right? So there's this little saying that we are born and shaped in sin and iniquity. Now, that's reworded from what the original autographs would say. Now, original autographs means things that are written, you know, in the beginning. And then the translations are of that original autograph. So keep that in mind, okay? When you hear the word autograph, it does not have just one definition. It doesn't just mean autograph as in your John Hancock, your signature, your name, and how you write it. No, it also means the things that are before. They're originals, right? I know when you're talking about people like to say aboriginal. So let's just say aboriginal of documentation. So whose doctrine is correct? Or whose doctrine is real? There's no one doctrine that you should hold fast to.
over the other. No, you're supposed to study that show that self-approve, and you're supposed to study all types of things, right? You're supposed to be eclectic. And the more eclectic you are, the easier it is for you to move up in levels of society. Now, I'm not talking about your spiritual walk, so please don't throw that in there. I don't talk about people's spiritual walk, right? I don't even talk about my spiritual walk. It is what it is. What I'm trying to help you to understand is how social engineering puts us in these categories. And there's somebody, if you want to think of it as a crystal ball. A crystal ball, and there's an owner to the crystal ball. And inside that crystal ball is the United States. It's a snow globe, you know, inside there, and it's all types of things. And it's just thrown inside this giant crystal ball. And they pick up the crystal ball and they shake it every now and then. And they watch the chaos that goes on. And eventually, you know, when you shake a snow globe, little snow thingies go all over the place. And then eventually they settle to the bottom. And that's what happens for us. Every 9 to 10 years, somebody shakes up the crystal ball with the snow globe inside of it and all the other things that they decided to throw in there. You know, because the snow globe is going to represent the people who are closed in and in that environment, and they can't go anywhere. Inside the crystal ball is the other stuff. Like, they may throw a little Lego city over here, or they may throw some Monopoly pieces over here. Nonetheless, you're shaking everything up and everything inside that crystal ball, because people be like, I can't tell what's going on in my crystal ball. Those sayings are said for a reason, and you need to start listening to what people say. Every word, right? Words are spells. I told you that from the beginning. Words are spells, and then we always need balance. So sometimes their spells aren't as powerful because their intentions and actions aren't behind it. They may say a whole bunch of words and cast a whole bunch of spells, but there's no direction. So there's nowhere for it to go, right? It just goes and dissipates, and we'll talk about that in another show. So acceptance and validation. And this is through my lens, okay? Through my lens. I had to be accepted into the military. That meant that I had to adopt all their customs and courtesies. I had to be obviously physically fit, which I'm not now. obviously had to be physically fit, but their culture, right? Whatever the culture was, I had to exemplify that I could be a part of that culture, and not just a part of it, but an effective part of it, in order for me to get to where I wanted to get to, which I did. That's how you graduate. That's how you become, you know, a service member. We're just going to say service member, because if I tell you what I am, like, you know what I am. I'm a Marine, but you're not going to look at me as a Marine because you want me to have like super duper muscles and all that stuff. It's a visual thing, but I am a Marine here. A good one here. Very smart, very intuitive. I'm not super smart, I'm just smart, but I'm more intuitive than anything. I can pick up on stuff. So that's why we're always talking about social engineering, because I got to see social engineering at a military level and a civilian level. And in the civilian level. And at that civilian level, you understand how the military is the teacher of what goes on in regular civil society. Right. But it's all a part of a giant social engineering structure so that there can be order and control. Now, keep in mind, I had a great person tell me that this is a melting pot. Yes. But in that melting pot, if everything melts together and all the ingredients come together and you stir that thing up, then it's making one thing. So that means you have to take a little bit and piece from everything, and not the bits and pieces that you want. Because you can get the bits and pieces that you want, but you got to take the ones that you don't want too. That's what makes this place unique, as opposed to other places that, you know, maybe have a hierarchy that is solely predicated upon communism or something of that nature. You know, you can go through the countries and see what they do, as opposed to what this country does. And this country predicates itself upon business. Right. Business. And inside of that business, there's always competition. There's always, you know, I'm better than you, and let me show you. There's always comparison. Right. You have to have those things. That's what drives the market. Comparison and competition. It drives the market either way. So, you know, like one off, because I'm going to make this a little bit longer. I got a couple of more things to throw. So one off, let's branch this off when we're talking about what's happening with our gas prices and stuff like that right now. What's happening with our gas prices is it's not an exploded tanker. That was funny. I cracked a rib listening to that and laughing at that one. But it's not an exploded tanker. It's not. It is a cyber hack to a certain extent, but the rest of it has to do with you have to drive the market in some sort of way. You never waste a crisis. If there's a crisis going on, trust and believe there's somebody behind the crisis that's getting paid and implementing more tools of control for society. Because as society goes on, they get smarter but weaker. So where are you weak at? Are you weak in your spirituality? Are you weak in your understanding? Are you weak in your monetary life? Are you weak in your understanding of you know, wildlife or whatever it is? You can throw anything into that equation. And that's why you have to balance, right? Words and spells need balance. That's why you have to balance out your intellectual prowess. You have to balance out what it is that you seek. You can't be so heavy laden on one side that you forget about everything else that comes along with it. Now, the internet has done an amazing job at showing that lesson to be true, because there's so many people that get on the internet, YouTube, you know, you name it, whatever the platform is, and they show you something, right? Especially with DIYs or do-it-yourselves. They show you something. They show you how to put it together, but they don't show you the other side. They show you how to lose weight or how to help, you know, cure the symptoms of a disease or illness. They show you how to put together something or how to parent your child or give you a little bit of counseling. You know what I'm saying? But they don't show you the downside of when you parent your child the wrong way, what happens to that child? What goes on in that child's mind? Is this going to go downhill? Because no two children are the same, right? No two personalities of these kids that you're raising are the same. No two diseases are the same. You can have a disease and that person can have the same disease diagnosed because the symptoms are the same. But how your body reacts to the disease that it is infiltrated with is not the same. Some people are healed faster than others. Now, the way that they get around that legally, if you look at the little bottom, you know, the little words on the bottom of the screen, they'll say results may vary. That's a legal term for them to get out of. You know, if you don't get cured or you don't get the desired reaction out of this medicine or protein or vitamin, then we told you that the results may vary. But what if you knew the results may vary with money? How the money works? How it goes up and down in value? Who fluctuates the value of money? And when you say the market, are you talking about people? People, like regular people who work and earn money that they don't own? Because who owns money? When you start to ask these questions, it makes more sense as to why you're going through the things that you're going through in this society, because it's socially constructed to do certain things, to pull certain things out of you and to infuse other things in you, depending on what needs to happen, what needs to be built, what needs to be engineered, what needs to be innovated. Where do we go next step, next level? You know, is this technology going to kill this off and we need these people to do these things, right? There's this constant argument right now about whether or not giving people money to stay home is worse or better than actually having them work. Is there infrastructure that needs to continue to be built, or is it just an infrastructure that needs to be maintained? And if so, how do you get the people to maintain this infrastructure? What type of training do they need? Because the people who are at the top, who are usually the innovators, are not the ones that maintain. You need an army of people to maintain whatever innovation you come up with. This was the same way, you know, it doesn't matter how far you go back in history. There's always a hierarchy of a few people who are either intuitive, hyper smart, or they just have the tools necessary to be able to do and build this thing, right? It's a pyramid. But how's the pyramid built? Is it built by the smart people, the five or six smart people that are in that conglomerate? No, it's built by the people, right? The lesser people, or so they think the lesser people, because without these lesser people, there would be no structure to be built. See, now you're getting into manipulation. How do you manipulate these people in order to get them to do something for you and make it beneficial for them? That's where money comes into play, or currency, right? It has to flow. Now, you can't own currency. There's no way for you to own it. You can make it, you can earn it,
And then once you make it, like, you're not making it as in creating it, but you're making it as in earning it. So you should never say, I go out and make money. You should say, I go out and earn money. And once you get that money, what do you do with it? Do you make it move and flow like it's supposed to, as in the word currency, or do you hoard it? Do you keep it? Are you a damn... Not gonna go all the way down that lane, but you understand what I'm saying. Now, what does this have to do with acceptance and validation? Well, there's acceptance that's required, because if you don't understand that you need to be accepted by something, then how can you get in the lane to make something or earn something that's not yours? You have to be accepted by one of the factions that were created for you to be accepted into. Now, your validation comes when your worth starts amounting and starts showing itself up in the currency that you're trying to earn. Meaning, you know, what are you worth? People always say, what do you bring to the table? Well, are you worth $15 an hour? Right? If you feel validated in whatever it is that you do because you was accepted to a certain area, then yeah, whatever you earn, you're worth. Is your worth more than that? Because you can feel like that, but not be able to produce that. And this is where these levels start going up and up. So we'll cut this short. We'll make this a part three. I'll probably do a part three next week, right? Because you got to give me some time to, like, put the thoughts together and then ball them up, throw them in the trash, go get them out the trash, piece them back together, argue with a couple of people about what I was saying with the points, you know, ask 17 more people over here, talk to a random person over there in the corner that I don't know, that doesn't look like they know anything about the subject, and they'd be surprised when they say something to me. You know what I'm saying? Gotta go through the regular stuff. That's what we do over here. We actually talk to people and we get their perspective. So keep in mind, acceptance and validation is very much a cornerstone in our society. And when you take that thought and you make people feel as though acceptance and validation is not important, you're going to get them to be on the outside. And those are the people that are lost to the cause, you know, so to speak. But they're not in the societal race. They're not in this race to get to the top of society, you know, the hierarchies and things of that nature. Those are the ones that are cool with living out in the woods and, you know, never getting the accolades of degrees and, you know, all the recognition and stuff like that, because they don't need to be accepted and validated in that arena. But they do need to be accepted and validated amongst the people that they're around. And if they isolate themselves, then they just isolate themselves. And those are the outliers. Those are the ones that they're the exception to the rule that proves the rule is true. So with that being said, I will talk to y'all later. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. If you got any questions or comments, obviously, you can leave them in the little comments below. For you people on the podcast, y'all can email me at Collins, spelled collins.johnson83@gmail.com. And I'll try to answer your questions the best I possibly can. I mean, you know, like I was telling my friend, I'm Radio Shack to a certain extent. You got questions, I got answers. So y'all have a good night, man. Thank you.